Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. Every beat and lyric will move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. It's Kitty, and today I have with me one of my favorite soul family people. His name is Dino, and you're going to enjoy it. So welcome in.
Hey, hey.
Hey.
Thanks so much for having me.
Of course, of course. You're welcome always, always. For anyone who doesn't know you, just to give us a little tidbit, if there is a way you can kind of give us a little bit of who you are.
Sure. I hate these kinds of, I'm not good at this.
That's okay.
But yeah, I'm Dino De Maria, and I'm a musician and human. And I've been on the journey, the healing journey, since I can remember. I'm 37 now, and I've been a musician since I was about 5 years old. So my passion is music, drums, and in the last decade, I've really sort of discovered my passion for using music as like a healing modality. So that's really where my heart beats the loudest.
Yeah. Music is such a tool to, and we talk about this a lot on different things, but music is a healing modality. It's also like this place marker in our life for, you know, events that happen or different parts of our life. It just holds space, just like a calendar almost for us.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a time machine too, right? It's like you'll hear a certain song will sort of become the soundtrack of a time of your life. You know, and then you'll hear that song a decade later and just be transported right back to that place. Yes. You'll remember the smells, the things you heard, the people you were with. It's just, it's magical in that way.
Yeah, no, it really is. It really is. And there's so much joy that's brought for me. I mean, I'm a little older than you, so I'm 48, but like I can remember 80s hair bands music and like being in my room and having posters on my walls. But then as I get older, of course, I have so many other different kinds of music, but otherwise, of course, was a huge impact on me and having moments, right? Just moments that were life-changing for me. So I do love that.
Yeah, those guys are angels.
They are. They are. And they do not give themselves credit for it. I've said this before to Adrian. I was like, yeah, that song really, you know, impacted me. And he's like, it's just a song. And I was like, listen, it is not just a song. Like, I will take you out.
That's
like, why? I was like, it's not. But anyway, so I'm going to talk about you a little bit because it's been almost 10 years because that's when I started my healing journey long before, but about 10 years ago is when I started with Otherwise and I ran into you. Wow. And I remember because I saw you and I was like, oh my gosh, like his energy and his aura is so great. I need to like go like give him a hug, but I don't want to be weird and step out and like be like, hi, and introduce myself because I was not remotely out of my shell, but I did it. And you were so gracious and amazing. And I would consider you a friend ever since then, like a soul family. Indeed. Just
indeed. Yeah. I remember that day very vividly.
And yeah.
Seeing you and another sister of yours,
yeah,
of ours, let's say. And you guys were like angels. It's the best way I could describe you. I remember I was a little under the influence at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember just seeing you guys as if you literally had wings, you know. And I remember at a very specific moment being able to barely hold myself up, and I had each of you on either side of me, and I just felt so cared for.
Yeah.
And so at peace. And I, you know, the rest is history. That's kind of just how I've always seen you, as sort of a, just like a very angelic soul and very loving, very caring. And I know your story's deep and I don't even know the extent of it,
sure.
But Just from the corresponding that we've done over the years since then, through the connection through the raven medicine
Oh.
and some of the bird symbolism, man, I mean, we could dive down a rabbit hole with that, just that alone,
Yes.
right? But that's when I knew you were just a kindred soul, man. So
Yeah.
I have so much love for you, and I'll never forget that day.
Oh no, I it, it the feeling is so mutual, and it's funny that you said the raven. I was gonna ask next about, so when I saw you and I was like, ah, he's definitely just part of like my soul and soul family, and he'll always just be a part of me. And then I saw about your 1111 connection, and then about the birds, the ravens, and I am very connected with crows as well. And for me, those are always these beautiful synchronicities, like from the universe saying, hey, you're on the right path, just that you're doing what you need to do. And so 11/11 is my birthday, and so I'm very connected. And
Oh my
then, yeah, and
God. I didn't
so you didn't know, yeah, 11/11, and I was born at 11, and so those, yeah, so those numbers are so for me like, this is right, this is right. So when I found out, yeah, and so when I found out your connection, can you talk to me about synchronicities for you, like what they mean and what some connections that you may have or synchronicities you may have that kind of guide you down your path?
Yeah, absolutely. They've kind of evolved over the years, and I've noticed that one sort of leads to the other, which opens up different ways. And basically, how I've come to understand it is that it's essentially how does the formless, which is like God, let's call God the infinite being, creator of the universe, whatever you want to call it, right? That formless en energy, that formless entity that is all. How is that thing supposed to communicate with us as an embodied physical creature, right? And I think that just as God has so many names and so many faces, he has his equal amount of ways to communicate with us. And it's and I like diving into spirituality, that in essence is what I believe true spirituality is. It's just your personal language with the creator. And whatever that looks like, right? So for me, birds have always been a very symbolic thing for me. Like I lost my father when I was a toddler. But one of the things that he did in his life, he raised homing pigeons, right? And so when I kind of started my spiritual path, I was around 19. One of the things that I would constantly find at a particular period of my life where these pigeon feathers just laid on the path in very auspicious moments of life, right? And the pigeon feathers led me to a medicine man who was actually one of my English professors. And then I started the psychedelic journeys and sort of like shamanic teachings with this. With this medicine man. And that led to other teachers. And then that led to an understanding that I'm my teacher. And these teachers just represent versions of myself in the future, essentially, right? And so the pigeon feathers became raven feathers at one point in time. And then the raven feathers became feathers of all birds. I mean, I can show you almost every bird that I've encountered and had a moment with, and almost had, like, the way I see it, a sort of apprenticeship with at a particular moment in time. And those feathers, kind of laid upon my path were those synchronicities for me. And depending on the bird that would leave them, the birds have their own symbolisms. And this is not just something we made up, right? This is something that the natives knew very well. Like every animal to them had a particular power and had a particular medicine, as they called it, right? And I really believe that the medicine that those animals represent are, they're just aspects of us. So when we encounter, let's say, a raven feather, You're walking down the street and boom, right there, when you take your next step as a raven feather, that is, in my understanding, a call from the creator for you to pay attention to that aspect of yourself, because it's you. It's saying, like, this is you. I need you to activate this, right? I need you to pay attention to this. And that's really what it is. And I think a lot of times, like, that's also attached to numbers. For some reason, when I see the hawk in my life, almost immediately after, I'll see twos, 222, 22. And in a very almost like scary way. And so, in a lot of ways, I think those things are connected to a bigger picture, you know, that's like the larger synchronicity of the larger movements of energy and people. And I think that that's like our guidance system, whether you call them angels, spirit guides, just getting us to pay attention to the larger movements that we're a part of, you know.
And I think that I think that there, while there is a lot of people, you could call it awakening or remembering, however it may be, but I think learning to be open to the communications from the universe of whatever that looks like, I think that that's paramount, because I think so many times people think that the universe, God, source, whatever we want to say, is like, hey Dino, would you do this? And they don't believe it. But I teach, or I have taught before, our class called Nature's Teachers, and we talk about herbs and we talk about animals and
I
how
love it.
that's how nature, that's how they how it teaches us. And then I think you just have to be open to the communication, which I think is just now peaking a little bit more than what it has been in the past.
100%.
And it's one of my favorite things, really. I have synchronicities of so many things, but a lot of the people that I'm the closest to, their spirit animal, or the animal that they connect to most to, is a wolf or a raven or a crow. And that's usually just my closest best friends are all wolf connected to wolves. And
Wow.
so I think that that's just a really, when you step back and look, from a higher point, and kind of look at the possibilities of what's really there and what's being communicated, it's really beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you do follow it, I feel, I mean, don't you find that it leads you to more? You know, it's like a breadcrumbing
It is.
to bigger unfolding.
It is. And I think that, and this ties into a lot of the mental health type things too, because I think that when you're in your best place mentally, which would mean you're not fighting the things that you have to do, or you're more trying to be more fulfilled and going with what you're being guided to do, then that is like a yellow brick road for you to follow, if again you're open to follow it. And sometimes that's the scariest path to do, I think, is just to kind of follow where you're being guided and not be attached to a certain outcome, those kind of things. But I do think that that's where we're at our best.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I want to dive a little bit into your music. You talked a little bit about being a musician since you're around 5 years old. Did you have a certain time in your life that, say, just a switch flipped, and that's where you knew you wanted Where you knew you wanted to be a musician, or was it just kind of something that naturally progressed?
I would say it was something that I was naturally inclined to. When I was very little, the first drums I ever played were pots and pans. I would just flip them over and beat on them. And then as I grew older, I learned of my heritage, my musical heritage. You know, my father was a musician. My grandfather was a musician. My great grandfather was a composer. So I would say it's definitely in my blood. I just feel very naturally inclined to music, and music in terms of like natural rhythms, you know, and really the understanding of music and everything, or like the rhythms within everything, right? And I've always been drawn to that. And then just growing up of course, you grow up and you have the dream, oh, I want to be a famous artist. I want to, do this. And then there's a, I've experienced myself a process of disillusionment where I'm like, okay, these fantasies of these illusions of grandeur and where like, and granted, some of those dreams are very beautiful and very like, very valid in their own right. Right. But, deciphering what was ego and what was really my spirit calling has always been my thing, right? And so very, very many times along the path, I've been kind of pulled over, pulled by money chasing, and pulled this way by this shiny thing. And so yeah, it's been this slithering path to the truth. And so yeah, I would say right now it's just like I've just accepted, I'm gonna be a musician till I die, whether anybody knows about it or not. And I'm okay with that. If it's just something that I get to, if it's a personal legacy within my family that I get to share with the people I love that are closest to me. And those are, that's where the real magic is anyway, and to be able to sit down with my son and teach him my secrets of how to tap into the drums and tap into to rhythms and how to make people dance. Those are the things that the intangibles that don't have a price, that don't really have a way to put a value, a dollar amount on them, So yeah, those are the greatest gifts and the truth. I think the truth and essence of what it is about music that has always called me to it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's true. I mean, you can't really put value on a life, and music, it really does save lives, right? It's not, some people are like, no, it's not. It's not that big of a deal, but it really is from, and from teaching children at a very young age about any art form, about how they can put their energy into something, even if it's gross energy or energy they're struggling with, and make something really beautiful out of it that can actually impact other people. That's so many lives, and there's not a price on it. We all like to pay our bills, but we like to pay our bills, but I think that the more that we talk about it, and the more that everybody's kind of like, hey, okay, we're all kind of struggling with the same things. I think that that's where it brings more community together, and maybe it'll make it easier on finances and all those things whenever it's talked about more. But it's you can't put a price on a life, I don't think.
No, absolutely.
So when you write, do you channel emotion? Do you write from spirit? Do you have something that's like nagging in your brain that you're like, I got to get out? How do you do it?
Yeah, I think all of the above at times, and it changes. I always have something playing in my head. There's always something, there's always a song. So it's, and when you say from spirit, that's kind of the language I would use to describe it. I very much feel like that's the song that the spirit is trying to convey to kind of like anchor down into this, denser realm. And that's the gift. Like to hear that is the gift. And I think to execute on the gift is like, really taking it a step further and co-creating with the spirit, right? So for me, I hear the melody, right? And it's a matter of recording the melody. And then from there, a song develops. And it could be as simple as, I mean, it could be the most simple thing. It happens a lot with drums, with beats for me. And other times it's like I'm just down. I'm just in my shadow and in my darkness. And it feels like a hopeless moment of despair. And I'll pick up my drum or I'll pick up my guitar. And then it becomes something, So it's like in one essence, it's almost like receiving a message and relaying the message. And on other aspect, it's like a transmutation where you're feeling, you're turning your sadness into something that can be medicine to somebody, mainly yourself.
Yeah, it is. And it is yourself. And I think the journey within is really, it's the tallest mountain. I say it all the time. The journey within is the tallest mountain. And I think our struggles are the medicine for someone else's, I won't say sickness, but for someone else's struggle. And so once we can find that medicine, I feel like we can show others how to heal themselves. It's not our job to heal others, but if we can show what's worked for us and what's helped, I think that showing that kind of love, I think there's nothing better. I don't think there's any other kind of love that's greater than showing someone how to love themselves and appreciate themselves more. So.
I love that. That's so true. And sometimes it's like just having the courage to really speak your own truth and share what you've survived is literally enough to give somebody else permission to feel like they can also experience the sadness, the depression. And sometimes it's just literally like, I'm not alone. It's the realization that you're not alone. Literally, all of us are on this. All of us have our own version of this, you know? And that's what makes us so beautiful. And so sometimes we just need that person that we resonate to reveal to us that they also struggle, that we don't feel like we're an outsider. We don't feel alone, you know? And it sometimes it's that simple, you know?
And I think that's why, I mean, I think I was put on this planet to absolutely hold space for people to share their stories, because I think healing starts when you're heard and people are allowed to share their stories. It's like there's so many of us on this planet and everybody feels alone. That's the craziest thing. It's
I know.
crazy because we're not, and we just, there's so much of not talking about emotions or not talking about struggles. And, you know, it's like, don't talk about it. But if you do, then you realize, oh, you're human like me. If I have to be human for a moment too, then okay, you're struggling too. It's wild. And the lack of talking about mental health and the struggles of just humanity, there's a big lack of it. And there's a lot of people who struggle with it. And there's this stigma with it, which I hate.
It's so true. And I mean, the work you're doing is so important.
Appreciate it.
You're absolutely right about that. There's a huge gap in the need for that. As well as, and I was just having this conversation the other day, as well as the need for containers for integration, because people right now, I mean, I do think all these things are byproducts of the culture we live in, being in Western society, being exposed to technology, having literally the infinite knowledge at our fingertips. But, knowledge isn't power, applied knowledge is power. And I think places like this, containers like the one you create are places where we learn how to apply, and can integrate. And that is so powerful because, I think that we're at a very sensitive place, just like as a humanity. And there's absolutely this need for understanding our feelings, man, and we're seeing it in society. So yeah, it's so powerful what you do.
Oh, I appreciate it. I haven't thought about it like that before, because I'm just always like, tell me your story. Let's get it out there. But
See, you see, and that's what's so beautiful about
yeah.
it is that, part of your dharma, is literally just doing what comes natural to you, but unbeknownst to you, you are providing a massive, offering.
Thank you.
It's literally coming from God, and it's like, yeah, we overthink it.
We do. We do. We make life so complicated, don't we?
So
We
yeah,
do.
you're right. You do. You just talk about music. You talk about music and mental health. That's it.
Yeah, it's fine, but I guess, yeah, it is. And I've had people say, I don't know, like the podcast, this is very new to me. You know, it's been a growing journey when you talk about shadow. You know, it's all been, you know, over the past 4 or 5 years, it's been a really big eye opener to the things that I myself, no one else is holding me back from, that I myself was holding myself back from. So shadow work became a huge thing. And I talk a lot about like standing back and kind of looking down at you, at yourself, and like you literally hold yourself back. You're the only person that holds yourself back. So it's just been a big journey, and it'll continue to be a journey, but
Yeah, I don't think it ever really ends. You know, it's just more intimacy with yourself, which equals more intimacy with the world that you get to experience.
It does. Have you had a hard time with vulnerability just overall? I think that that's something sometimes we struggle with because we make ourselves vulnerable, then we get hurt, and then we're like, I'm done, I'm not doing it again. But it's, I think it's a superpower. I think
It
it is.
really is. I say that. I
Do
say that a
you?
lot. I do. I just told my partner that actually the other day, because it's interesting. We're at this place where, you know, we're coming from the sort of, you know, the ruling patriarchy, and then you have this whole movement of feminism and into this new era where, you know, women want men to be more emotionally intelligent and more receptive and more embodied in their feminine energy. And not to, and that's the thing that we're at. It's 444 right now where I'm at in California.
I love that.
Talk about synchronicity,
Right? Oh,
huh? So, and that's my number with my ladies. So that's beautiful.
I love
Shout
that.
out to my love. I love you, baby. And yeah, so what I think that what that's all about is we're at this place where it's like we could in the act of balancing masculine and feminine go too far,
Yeah, I agree.
and that's kind of where we're at right now. We have this opportunity, but as a result, we have to take on a wave of pressure and a wave of like the trauma that we have to transmute, really, so that we don't go in the opposite direction and create the same problem, you
Yeah,
know?
no, I agree. I agree. And
Yeah.
I think everybody doesn't realize that everybody has masculine and feminine within them. Like you have both. And I've had that conversation with different people before. I have friends who are female who are highly way more masculine, and you know that balance of it. But I think when I'm thinking about the balance of masculine and feminine, like the healing aspect and the nurturing aspect is missing from that. And
Yes.
I think that's the dangerous part for me when I see the movement, right? I'm all about women power, all those things. Like I'm about that, but I'm also very comfortable in my femininity of the nurturing and the healing that I know I can bring to that. And I think that if it pushes too far, then we lose that. And that seems like that wouldn't be good either.
To your question, it was very difficult to be openly vulnerable, because that's not, I don't think, something that off the bat a lot of us have good examples of how to even do, you know. And one thing I've learned the hard way is it's good to be vulnerable, but you also can't, let's say, you know, in my situation, I can't come home and just decide on a whim that I'm gonna cry my eyes out to my lady without gauging the temperature of the room. Right? You know, it's like I think there's a methodology to maintaining the balance, because it's like, it's not just like, let me cry on her shoulders right now, because maybe she's had a day, maybe she's crying. And you know, from what I understand, for a lot of women that are wanting to root in their feminine, they need that space to be emotional and feel like there's a rock for them. But then you're the man of the house and they see you coming home and just needing to spill your guts. Well, who's their rock now? So it's like understanding that there's a sort of etiquette to it.
Sure.
It's like, and being able to also self-regulate, both men and women being able to approach each other in that way that with compassion, I think. You know what I mean? It's like understand, hey, I have moments where I really sometimes I want to just open up to you and I need to release some things with you. Do you have a moment to hold this for me? Are you available? Or if it's that time of the month for her and she's just overwhelmed. I just went through this. She's like, no, like, oh my God, I feel like there's no space for me to have feelings. And I don't feel like, I need a rock right now. And I really wanted to process something with her and be vulnerable about something. So we had this point of contention. And I was like, it forced me to go within and nurture myself, which was very important. And also recognizing I also want to be able to process some things with my lady, but respecting her timeline, and that could be a huge little, bit of a great tip for people experiencing that.
I think it can. And I think that that goes along with friendships too, because I
Oh,
think
without a
so
doubt.
many, right? Because we have so many times that we're struggling with something and we want to call our friend, but again, they may not, they may be going through their own thing. I think that that communication is huge, and being able to nurture yourself is huge, and it's really difficult whenever you've grown up perhaps in a society or community or your family that there wasn't that outside necessarily nurturing, so you weren't really taught what that looks like. I think that is so much a learned thing. I will find myself sometimes having conversations like I'm two people, like, why are you so upset right now? Because I really am pissed off. It's like, but why? Don't ask me that question. It's like there's two people and they're talking because I know, the spiritual, I know the answer, but I'm human right now.
Do you ever, well, I mean, I heard you talk about how you zoom out and you take your bird's eye view. Do you ever, in those moments when you do that, zoom out, and what do you find between, how are you identifying with those two voices when you do that?
So it's interesting, I think, because it's something that I'd say over the past couple of years, that's what I've started. And when I zoom out and I find that it's really, I identify as the one that's emotional is probably my inner child, right? Because that's always the one that's like, because I want,
I know you.
it's like
Yes, yes.
little me is having a tantrum, and there somebody said something that hurt the feelings, and then this one's like, seriously, do you even care? And so it's like higher self looking down saying, this is cute. Look at them. They're growing. This is a great opportunity for them to grow. So, I usually look at it like, here's this lesson that I'm literally watching myself learn, and what we do with it, is up to ourselves. But
Wow. And so as a mom, you're a mother, right?
I'm a grandma too now.
You're a grandmother. So, man, this is beautiful. So, as a grandmother, how often do you find yourself confronting your wounded inner child?
I so with my kids, because my kids are older, I have 27 and 20, about 22. I think that I've gone through the hope, or not the hope, but forgiving myself for not being more healed when they were younger, from raising them from a less than healed. I mean, we're
Of
always
course.
healing, but a less than healed spot, and not always great moments, But I do find with my grandchildren, when they're screaming or they're throwing a fit, I'm like, oh, baby, just feel those emotions. Just feel it. Do you feel that emotion? Just let them scream, let them learn how to self-regulate. Whereas when, my kids were younger, it was like, can you not scream and throw a fit? And now I'm like, it's fine. Just let them feel their emotions. So
Yeah, that's huge. That's so huge.
I think the self-reflection has just been, I have to not, I think at first I was kind of sad because I was like, boy, I really wish that I was able to be who I am now, 20 years ago, but that's not how it works. But I've had conversations, with my kids, and I'm like, I'm sorry that I didn't raise you from a more healed spot. So we're very, very
Amazing.
close. And, when they see the changes and just it is different. But with my grandkids, because my grandson's 4 and a half, and
God bless you.
he's autistic and he is nonverbal, and they said he'd never speak, but he speaks,
Of course.
and
Of
yeah.
course.
And so I'm like, here's the guitar, here's this, here's that, so
Yeah.
it is different. And I think being able to look back at who you were is a huge thing, but being able to forgive yourself too for those parts is even bigger. Like
Absolutely.
you have to love all of yourself. So,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely. And it's all perfect, like for whatever reason at that time, your kids needed that version of you. That's what was available to them. And it was crucial for their growth, And I think that's what's so beautiful about being able to reflect on that together. Because, as parents, we're not just watching our kids grow, we're growing too. We're growing up too. And, at a certain point, your kids become adults and there's a shift in the relationship, and that you're on this level playing field where you're just like, you're sovereign beings. There's mutual respect. And that's a really beautiful place to be. It's a really beautiful place to be.
It is, and I am so grateful that they chose me, or however it works to be their mom, because I did need them absolutely. But I need them so much more as adults. Like, I love them so much as adults. They're great human beings,
I
and
bet.
the grandkids, aren't too bad.
Oh man, I bet. You know what? Like I can only imagine because I know how much my son lights up my mom. Just talking about him. So they really do. They really are like lights. They really are just such massive lights, and having my son, I think that the world revolves around the family unit. Quite literally. It's literally the people that are out there in the world facing massive risks are doing it for a loved one. And a lot of times I believe it's for their children and their family, So I get it now. I get it in a way I never could have seen it until now,
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of growing up and growing through things, because my oldest, he's like, Mama, I don't know why I was so bad. And he's like, now I'm gonna get it, aren't I? And I was like, oh, you are.
Probably.
But it does, you don't know until you know. And then once you know, okay, we move forward, so
Yeah.
yeah, it's a
Beautiful.
beautiful thing. It really is. And I think
Beautiful.
just the stages of life and the things that you can learn. It's there's a lot of darkness and not so great things, in the world. But I think, like right now, I'm teaching, it's on what you water. Do you water the weeds? Do you water the seeds? If you water the weeds, they're gonna siphon all the energy from your beautiful flowers you're trying to grow. And it's what you
I
choose to
love that.
water.
Writing that down.
It's just a really beautiful thing to think about, because you plant a garden and there's going to be weeds that show up in the garden, and the weeds grow, but the flowers you're going to nurture. The weeds are just going to siphon all the energy. They're going to siphon all the nutrients, all the things that those blooms need to be beautiful. And I think that it's just about what we water. And sometimes I don't water the right one.
Yeah, I'm guilty too.
It's
I'm
true.
guilty too.
It's true. So, do you have any spiritual practices or anything that you do before you sit down to do the music?
To put it simply, I like to just be conscious of the fact that what I'm doing when I partake in music, I'm doing it as if it was a prayer.
I love that.
So if the sound of my drums was my voice, In my mind, I'm playing those drums as if I'm speaking a prayer. I like to sit in that intention when I'm, especially if I'm creating music specifically for other medicine people or other healers, you
Sure.
know, because that's always something that translates in the music.
It does. It does. I actually have listened to some of your newer stuff, and for me, it's very reminiscent of something that I used to listen to a long time ago that I lost to where we could find it. And it reminds me of, I don't know how to say it even, because it reminds me of comfort, but it reminds me of being within nature. And it's easy to listen to, but I can also work with it, like go to work or read or do anything with it, because it hits me on a different level than say the music where there's words. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I can't work or do any kind of spiritual anything when I have songs that have words for the most part, because my brain starts trailing off and singing and all those things. But I was able to keep it on even at work on the days that I listened to it, and
I
it's
love that.
very comfortable, and it just kind of keeps you in a zone. That's what I'm saying. It keeps
I
you in a
love it.
zone. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's very comfortable.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. What do you want people to get from the music that you put out? What if they were to listen to it for the first time, what is the hope that they would get from it?
Well, with my instrumentals, something along the lines of what you just said. You know, if it's that simple, I'm good. For me, the biggest compliment is when somebody listens to one of my songs and they start moving. That's showing me that they're connecting with it, you know, and it's moving them. The rest is between them and the music. But then when somebody starts humming or they start visualizing things, that for me is the deeper power being unlocked, you know. And I feel like there's what I really love about the music without lyrics is exactly what you said. It leaves a space for you to bring you to it in a way, even if that's in your own head, you know. I played something for Ryan the other day and he starts humming along to it, and he starts immediately is humming a part to the song. And that for me is like, he doesn't even need to tell me he likes the music. The fact that he did that, the greatest compliment I could ever receive, you know, because it makes you want to be a part of it, you know, and like give yourself to it. So that's what it is.
I love that. That's a great answer. So talk to me about some of your projects that you have going on. I wanted to touch base a little bit on the Life by Music and kind of what we were talking about earlier, before we jumped on, about the impact that music has on mental health and all of that. So, can you talk to me a little bit about that?
I wouldn't want to go too deep into Life by Music as an organization, just because I feel like the right person for that would
It's
be
gonna be
our president,
Ryan.
Patrick,
Yeah. No,
nobody will
no.
do that justice like him.
Yep.
But in a nutshell, it's, you know, it's a nonprofit with the intention of providing music education instruments to underprivileged teens and veterans. And that is the avenue that Ryan's really spearheading with his efforts, which I think is really beautiful. And, you know, I remember Ryan and I go back to high school, you know, so I was there with him when these ideas were seeds, when he first spoke the words Life by Music. And we sort of evolved it, and I've watched him evolve it and grow into this amazing thing that it is. It has its own life now, you know, and it's taken a shape none of us, I think, could have even imagined. But a while back, we did, when I was on tour with them, when I met you, I think it was back in 2014, we had just released Supersonic Sex Spice, which was an instrumental EP of ours that was very under the radar. And we, you know, we created that as sort of like a music offering that was sponsored by Life by Music, right? And so, yeah, the idea is has always been to just make people aware, to remind people, just to remind people that there's outlets for years, outlets for you when you're in your darkest moments, you know? And it could be as simple as turning on a song, it could be as simple as picking up a guitar. And, you know, in your darkest moment, that too shall pass.
It does, right? I always say that the crappy, the darkest moments pass, the good moments pass. It all mass it passes its ebb and flow.
Constant.
It is. It really is. What t talk? Okay, so let's move into your newest music that you've released. You want to tell everybody about that?
Yeah, I would love to. So I've been working on this project. This is my first release in forever. It's called The Temple of Sacred Silence. And the concept behind it is essentially, you know how we were talking about you stepping back and listening to those two voices in your head? Well, you stepping back is you stepping into the temple.
Love that.
That is the temple of sacred silence, is where you're silent. You're not speaking, but you're hearing everything. You're hearing the voice of God, which is you, and you're hearing everything, right? And so that was the concept in this project. And it's seven tracks. I just released it on Spotify right now, and it's still just singles. I haven't officially released it as an album, but here in April, I'm about to have a big push for that project. And that's what it is. It's essentially for my healers, it's for my light workers, you know, and my seekers that want it's this is your soundtrack. This is the soundtrack for you.
And where can they find, what name is it under, all that stuff? Because, I just look
Yes.
for Dino, but.
Yeah. So this is another interesting thing. So it's actually under my alias, Rainbow Raven. If you go on Spotify, search Rainbow Raven, you can't miss it. Yeah, Rainbow Raven is actually my so the Raven that initially appeared to me. His name, ironically, is Rainbow.
I love that.
See, the irony of a black bird named Rainbow is deep.
It is, but
So yeah, so Rainbow Raven is a tribute to that spirit. And I'm re releasing all my instrumentals that have that are made with healing frequencies under that alias.
okay.
So yeah, if you go to Spotify, check out Rainbow Raven, or you could also go to therainbowraven.com, and that's my personal website. I'm always updating my stuff on there.
And he
As
has
it has been.
shirts. He has merchandise. He has
Yes.
merchandise. Go buy it.
Yes, and there's going to be more, a lot more.
I love that too. I love that too. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I tend to end the podcast with the question that if someone you cared about was struggling with mental health or just struggling in general with life, what is some words of wisdom? What's some advice that you would give them?
I would probably give him a big hug and say, "This too shall pass."
I love that. My son has that tattooed on his arm because I always say that to him.
Of course.
He also has a clock with 11:11 and a crow. But
Oh my God.
it
Yeah.
says this too shall pass because I always tell him that, like, it's gonna pass. Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get ready to go meet a brother right now and do that very thing.
I love
So,
that. All right. Well, I appreciate
yeah.
you coming on, and you have to revisit because I know we could talk about all kinds of things. So,
Listen, I'm here. You're my soul sister, man. I'm here for you any way that I can support you and your platform and what you're doing. I would
thank
be
you.
honored to.
Yeah,
I'm
and
always
right back at you.
your again.
Right back at you. I absolutely love you and adore you, and absolutely so.
Ditto.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life with KL. where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life of KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynne.com, kittylynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.